So we've been discussing about what constitutes a meeting of the minds. I want to wrap up that discussion in the next few minutes by discussing the case of the Yushalmi very briefly. So remember, our Mishnah says that Polam Shehitu says that Ein Lohem Ela Taromes, all they have is a grievance. We'll see if we saw the Bavli's interpretation of the case. Earlier we saw the Yushalmi's interpretation. Yoni, you remember the Yushalmi's interpretation offhand? There's some misrepresentation about the price, right? So the Balabai says, I'll hire you for $5, like I pay the rest of my workers. Turns out he's really paying the rest of them $7 or $8, right? Or in the Yushalmi's case, he's paying them $10. So what does the Yushalmi say? Ein lohem zel zel taromes. So they're locked in to the stipulated price. We don't care that he misrepresented that this is what the other poalim were making. Correct? That's the Yushalmi's case. Now, the Rashba took issue with this. The Rashba said that can't be, right? He said, Me'achar shehitu zeh zeh, v'lo nisratzu zeh lezeh, el al masha amru sheruba niskarin kain, nimsa shelo samcha daitam. The Rashba says that can't constitute a meeting of the minds because lo samcha daitam, right? Really what they had in mind is to be paid the amount that everybody else was making. So you see the machlokas here between the Rashba and the Yushalmi, or the way the Rashba spins it, Machlokas in the Balbi and the Yushalmi, whether this kind of problem undermines the otherwise meeting of the minds, right? So Balbi said, I'm paying you $5 like the rest of my employees make. Polim said, that sounds good. On the Yushalmi's view, that is a meeting of the minds. On the Balbi's view, Rashba Balbi view, it's not, because lo samcha daitam, because they were nisratza on the assumption that the other Polim are making this amount. So there seems to be a machlokas here about the relevant standard for whether we can say there's a meeting of the minds. Just a comment, notice the Rashba here says, Vahare elu toin v'chozrin. Because there was no meeting of the minds, it was like a mistake, toin, right? V'chozrin. What does v'chozrin mean? It sounds like he wants to say there's no agreement at all. Right? The whole thing is reversed. It's invalidated. Right? They're not bound by that agreement altogether. So, on this view, if you take toin v'chozrin, meaning we unwind the agreement, we say there's no agreement, it sounds like he's saying, this is worse than a case of socher poalim stam. We don't say that there was a meeting of the minds here to do work, just they didn't agree on the price, so we default to minhag hamedina. It sounds like he's saying if there's this fundamental toos in the attempt to create the contract, then we rescind it, rather than saying, oh, there's a background agreement for employment, and we just go to minhag hamedina. Contrast that with the way the Rama quotes this. The Rama writes here in Shin Lamed Beis Dalid, quotes the Yushalmi, quotes the Rashba, basically. If the Polim are mat to the Balabais, the Balabais is mat to the Polim. Have ki ilu lo sachru zeze klal v'nosen lehem b'pacho she b'polim. So in the Rama's citation, it sounds like he thinks as if there's no agreement on the price, and therefore you default to minhag hamedina pacho she
b'polim. How do you mean that?
Yeah, I think it just means that there was no agreement on the price. Clearly, he's got to think that there's an agreement on work because it doesn't on top of the polim, right? They're getting the right stuff are falling below cuts out to domino amount. It could be. That would be like, I mean, this would be like a yored. I mean, that he thinks that a yored in general gets pachashev polim. It's a bit of a chiddush. I think kidlo suffers as that klal sounds more like, unless this is his gloss on what a yored gets, which would be like the, we'll see later on, it's like the Baal Mor in the Sugya and Kuf Aleph and yored, then I think he's saying ki lo sachru zeh zeh klal, there was never a meeting of the minds on the contract price amount. That's how I'm reading this. I hear your point, Yair, that the language here sounds stronger, but I think the din here points to saying it's a ketzitza below, this is a schirus below ketzitza's dam, and that's what he means by there was no meeting of the minds on the contract price. But that's different. In any event, I think that's different from where the Rashba himself says it, which is Hare Elu Toin Bechuzrin, which sounds like we rescind the whole agreement.
The Rashba puts up in two different cases. And the Rashba says in one case where the worker is treated the Baal Bayit, there is a second case he said that there's nothing. There's no contract at all. So in the case where the Baal Bayit treated the worker, then he says that it's calling the local pizza.
Where does it say that?
It's the next paragraph. Bishma quality name the Baal Bayit.
Yeah. Right. That's very interesting. You're pointing out there's a tension within the Rashba itself. Yeah. In one case, there's no agreement at all. And in the other case, he wants to say, Nisbatel Tanai Schirusa.
Right, but they still get the.
And then they're Polim Shasib Lokitsa, that you get Pachshe Polim.
Yeah,
it's interesting. It's interesting that Rashba himself has both formulations. I don't have a strong view. Either way, in terms of what the din could be, right? You could either say that there's no agreement at all, Toan v'chozrin, which is the first formulation of the Rashba, or you could say there's skiras polim below ktitza, and then you get pachashe polim. Third view, you might say, and I think this is how the Meiri and Ayin Vav seems to read the Yushalmi's case. He says, sorry, this is how the Meiri reads the Bavli is disagreeing with the Yushalmi. B'yefshar shedas Talmud Bavli shebezu chayiv. In the Yushami's kind of case, you would be liable. You would be chayiv. Why? Shaharei ze kemisha hisne sheyitin kederech shenasnan l'chavereihem. What does the Meiri seem to say here? What's the remedy? What's the outcome of the Yushami's case? Not ein lohem zel zel taromes with an agreement on the price. Rather, what? Not that we rescind the whole thing, like the Rashba seemed to say. Not that it's Schiras Pol and Blo Ketitza, like the Ramah seemed to say, but. No.
It's like it's not equivalent to the.
Yeah, it's like the Iker Ketitza. We interpret it as the Iker Ketitza having been on what the other Polim are making. So remember, the Baal Bayit, they'll hire you for 5, like my other employees are getting. And the other employees turn out to be getting 10, the Meiri seems to say that the Poel gets 10. So it's not a meeting of the minds on what the Baal Bayis is trying to sell them. But then he ends up saying, but it's a meeting of the minds on what the other Poelim are making. Which is really interesting. Why should that be? Right? You see that, Ben? The way the Meiri recites the case is Ketzad Baal Bayis Hite Poalim Amar Lahem Tavo Imi Kederech Shabo Chavereichem Sholom Lo Vekama Bo'u Omar Lahem Ruban Bishlosha and Imtze Ruban Barba.
It seems a bit the Iker Das is on this first part.
Yeah.
Kederech Shabo Chavereichem.
The Sivos
is the same thing.
Yeah, good. So you want to say maybe the Meiri here is just kind of interpreting the facts a little differently. Right? That maybe the facts are just, he's reading the case where like just our empirical assessment is that there was more of a meeting of the minds on the kimosha asu chavereichem component.
Right, so I think it could either be that or that the rule has more power objectively.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Then perhaps what's going on in a specific situation.
I wonder also if it's a kind of knas, right? Like a knas for trying to deceive is that you get stuck with your, right? With your representation. So it's like we look to the
this is similar to what you're saying, right? We'll just like look for like the
what's the most reasonable meaning of the minds is you were trying they wanted kemosha asu chavereichem. You represented what the asu chavereichem were getting, so we interpreted the meaning of the minds as being on that event.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, the meaning of the minds of about like the thoughts of both parties or the words of both parties?
Yeah.
If it's about the words, so you don't have to talk about like it's not. It's just like he's dead, the airship's recovered, you know?
Right.
And the whole question is like which words we
But use. He said two separate things. He said commotion has to recover.
Like depends like the conceivable question. Like,
yeah.
Which
is primary.
Yeah, which is primary.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Like, that's what it is. They're not going to be like, what if he said to the workers, I'm going to pay you the minimum that Poland get paid? And it's a mean that that minimum, and what is that for? But it's a mean that the minimum's more than that. So I mean, like, is there
the Iker Kitsitsa is.
Right, so I'm saying, is there something inherent about the road, about the road people get
paid?
Yeah,
that's like stronger.
There's DOS in the situation on the first thing that was said.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't really tell us.
Right.
I'm just pointing out that on the face of it, though, we have three different ways you can go. It's not 100% clear how aligned the Meiri, though, is with the cases that the other Mefarshim are giving us, right, which is what you're pointing out. So at least for the Ramah and that second formulation in the Rashba, it's Schiras Polim below Ktsitsa. For the first formulation in the Rashba, there's no Schiras at all. So if there's chazara, you could totally renege. And then for the Meiri, it's, oh, you're chayav to pay the amount that the other polim are receiving. So I'm saying that could be just because that's the most plausible interpretation of the meeting of the minds. Or maybe, as Ben is saying, it's case-specific that the Meiri just has empirical reasons for thinking, given the way the bargain was made, that their das was on what the other polim are making. Right?
How did it-
I think my perspective is leaning more towards my perspective is even just more neutral, but even if there's like no reason to favor one over the other, like I think the way Ben's putting it, it's like we look into their minds and they both kind of knew deep down that the words they were saying were trying to hit the Kamo Shar Polim amount. That's what Ben, that's what you're putting it, right?
That's the way to look at it.
Say right. Well,
so you can put my name on that.
Right, that's the way of looking at
it.
Right. Mine is more just regardless of their intent, when the Balabais intentionally deceives, then we'll interpret the meaning of the minds against him.
They're not forgiving us.
Yeah, I mean, conceptually, right, what you're describing is almost right, the, you know, kind of constant
nuts.
Trying to be sneaky.
Right. Right, maybe my view is not so different from Ben's, that's possible.
Right, I mean, I'm a strong articulation of your view would be very different from Ben's, and then it wouldn't be very plausible to me.
Right. But the weak.
It's really a constant. Like, we deliberately, like, willfully twist
yeah.
the Balabai's word.
We
like,
construct it. We construct it against him. We construe
right.
it against him. Yeah.
Can
I hear.
Like, can you take the Minhag-Medina sort of approach? Like,
yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's what we were getting at before with the room, right? We kind of.
Right, that's
a the like, kind of the magnetic pull is towards what the most people are getting.
Right.
So it's like two things here. There's an ambiguous agreement, and then we'll resolve the agreement in accordance with, like, the Minhag. Which is just what other people are getting. That's the way you're putting it. Yeah, it's also a possibility.
Is there like a tendency that we want to have given a meeting of the minds? Or like we prefer to.
As opposed to zapping to Minhag HaMedina.
Yeah, we'd rather interpret in some way. We have to interpret something.
Right, the common denominator between them.
Right, we have some interpretive license to get a meeting of the minds.
Yeah. I think that's a really good question. I'm not sure. I think that would be kind of like leaning into like almost the economic ways of like viewing things, right? Like there's like maybe there's is there some benefit to having a rule that like we do our best to say there's a meeting of the minds before we default to. So you might say the Meiri here is clearly has a presumption in favor of a meeting of the minds. That's how you pay the Kimosha Shar Kol and Mekablim amounts. Whereas the Ramah and the Rashba are okay with there not being.
But it's not like you get a better meeting of the minds in one meeting or the other.
Well,
you don't have any minds at all, according to. I mean, like, within the different versions, you have 20 years, you might not be different. Between, like, the Giri versus, like, the Rashba, you feel like you're pay more than the mind.
And all things considered, we could either stretch their DAS to say their meeting of the minds is on X, or we could say,
right,
when
then,
in doubt, let's just resort
to DAS in the reverse also.
What?
We could stretch the DAS in the reverse second also. That really what Paul alluded to was,
yeah,
you know,
like Yishalmi.
What's the number?
Which,
right,
is
exactly.
Yishalmi, which is the Yishalmi's view.
Right.
Right? So the Yishalmi and the,
right, I mean,
the Miri.
Right,
the Yishalmi and the Miri are kind of in agreement that we're going to lean towards meeting of the minds. Right? Just they go in opposite ways. The Yishalmi way is to say there's meeting of the minds on the Ktsitsa mount, and the Miri way is to say the meeting of the minds is on the Kemoshe Sharpol and the Kabbalah mount. The Rashba and the Ramah go the other way and say, oh, our presumption is to say no meeting of the minds. I think it's a really interesting question, Yoni, and I would say that, you know, yeah, I mean, it's related also to how you think whether Minhag HaMedina is just a Hechatimtzi for reconstructing what their Stam Das may have been on versus it's a rule to follow when there's no meaning of the minds.
Does it matter on the consequences? Like some consequences are worth.
Right. I think that would be like the economic approach. You'd have to figure out exactly like why would we prefer one way over the other.
But the basic rationale suggests that we would try applying meaning of the minds for all only the economics
or
no other.
Like, I don't know. I
social factor.
Not that I can think of off the top of my head, but it could be that there's one out there. So, yeah, I have to sit more on it. Okay. Now, I just want to point out the Meiri has a nice observation here, and the Taz makes a similar one later on. Meiri says, well, you know, I think it really depends on how we interpret the statement given the way business is done in society. All right, so look what he says. V'el sh'yir li b'zu... Right, when the Balabai says, I'll pay you five, like the rest of my polem are getting, that's just like how employers and businessmen work. Kolomar, ein apolem niskar mel b'kach, o shehem niskar b'kach v'kach, v'hu ke'ein ziruzin. It's like a salesman's bluff. Right, and then he says,
v'china dap... This is his way of justifying the Yerushalmi, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah,
okay. He's trying to make sense of the Yerushalmi. Literally, like, you know, a salesman. And the guy's like, oh, I had a buyer who's going to pay me $1 million for this. And I'm giving it to you for $900,000. Right? That's not like real deception. It's not the kind of thing that the purchaser only buys it assuming that the representation that there was an offer out there for $1 million is true. Right? That's not the way the buyer thinks. Ela gomer hu bedaito al kach ve'ose osan hadvarim sad u'mavo likanes. Right? He knows that he has got intent for the amount, and these other things are like enticements or baits to try to lure him.
Like a person wants to feel like they're being paid a fair wage.
That's right. You know?
It's like you go to the shuk and they're like, oh, it's a good price, it's a good price. And
exactly.
Probably not a good price. You don't, like, get mad at them for, like, telling you that.
Right. The guy's selling you a carpet. And he says, oh, and he says, I want $100 for it. And you say, no, I'm going to pay you $50. He's like, no, but I sold, all my ones I sold today, I sold for $150. I'm giving you $100. It's a good deal.
You know that, like,
it's haggling. It's the
Sony guys.
That's right. So you see, the Miri's basically saying, maybe the Yishalmi makes sense in a context where people haggle in this way. But notice, what seems to be important for him is really the Gemira's Das, right? He's all interested in Ein Hadash Das Hashomeas Someches Ad Shenomar Shal Das Kenu Yored. Right? We're kind of like really trying to figure out where's the Smichas Das? What's the guy actually thinking? Of course, he adds Im Hayad Dvarim B'Tanai Gomer In Safik Shalchan Acharav. If it's like a real condition that I'm only going to buy this on condition that you actually sold the other one at this rate and that your other workers are getting paid such and such, then of course it's binding. But if it's just customary to haggle this way, then the Miri thinks we can make sense of the Yishalmi in this kind of a social context. All right. That's the Miri's interesting observation. Good. Any comments on this so far? Comments? Any of our conferencers have comments on this yet?
I'm good.
Okay. Anybody else? Gabe and Yakir?
Yeah, I'm good.
Gabe?
No comments right now.
Okay, Akir?
No comment.
Okay. So let's, I want to just make a few more karos on this question of the Yerushalmi and what constitutes a meeting of the minds in that context. When there's a discrepancy between that, what? What? Between the Ketzitza Schar, the stipulated amount, and the representation that this is what everybody else is making amount. So, very briefly, there's an interesting point here. I think that comes out of the SMA. Is there such a thing as a meeting of the minds on a spread? So, until now, we've been discussing whether there's a meeting of the mind on the Ketzitza amount or the Kemosh, Sharpol, and Mekablim amount. Is there such a thing as saying, well, there was no meeting of the minds on the exact amount, but there was the meeting of the minds on the range of the amount. Does everybody see that? You know, sometimes, in some areas of halacha, you might say, oh, this is like a hestivus bedavar sheino katzuv question. Could you obligate yourself to an amount that's not fixed? But I think the SMA here has an interesting observation. So this is the SMA in Shin Lamed Beis Yud Aleph. Page 3 of the long Google Doc. So the SMA says, suppose you have this Yerushalmi case. The Baal HaBayis says, I'll pay you what the other workers are making. And then it turns out that the other... this is a case where... It doesn't really matter. For the facts, the way the SMA presents it, imagine a case where Poland deceived the Baal HaBayis. They say, we want to be hired by you for $100,000 a year, just like all my friends are, just like all our friends are making for a similar job. Baal HaBayis says, okay, great. Now, it turns out some friends are actually making $50,000 a year, not $100,000 a year. So, the way the SMA interprets the Rabbeinu Yerucham B'Shem HaRashba is that, of course, the Ketzitza's batel, right, against the Yerushalmi, because there was misrepresentation, but Nostein Lohem Kemosh and Iskarin Harov. So you pay them the amount that the Shar Polim are making. Meaning, what the colleagues are making, what the people who are making 50 are making. V'af shenimtzu k'tzas b'pachos mehei. Even though the pachos shebipolim amount is actually 40 grand. Right, less than what the colleagues are making.
Because the agreement was, the foundation of that agreement was based on, hey, that's what the other people
exactly
are doing.
Exactly. Mikol makom kivan dehu hiski mimayim litein lehem kemosh and iskar and harov mipnei shelavat latriach lebakash amir sulo holchin achar amir. The important point here is that the deliberations, I guess you'd say there was a meeting of the minds, basically either to pay the amount that the colleagues are making or the ketzitza amount. Right? So we're not going to say like the Ramah. The Ramah said, oh, there's no agreement in the Yerushalmi case that we default to Pachos Shevet Poalim. The SMA says, no. What we default to is, I guess, the lesser, in this case, just we default to what the Shar Poalim are making, what the friends are making, what the peers are making. I think he's disagreeing with that language. We're not saying batla schiras. This is the SMA. Shin Lamed Beis Yud Aleph. He's saying we don't say batla schiras. We don't say that the negotiations were meaningless because there was no meeting of the mind, so we default on pachos shevet poalim. No. We say, like, look, the Baal HaBayis, there was a meeting of the minds to pay one of these two amounts. So the Poalim get not the higher amount, right, not the Ketzitza amount, but they get the amount that their peers are actually making.
Like, well,
Batlos Chiras, so my view is that this language just means that the agreement on the Ketzitza amount is Batel. Same way I was reading it in the Ramah. Not the way that Yair wanted to read it. But la schirasa, meaning the alleged agreement to pay the ketzitza amount, is batel. So Somebody see the significance of the Sma? So I think he's saying that you could have a meeting of the minds on the boundaries, on the spread, even if there isn't a meeting of the minds on the specific amount.
It seems like the meeting of the minds is not on the spread, it's on like the criteria to determine what we have to. Like if they both agree the criteria is going to be what the rogue is, that's the criteria. Why is this spread?
Because what happened here is that I said, hire me for $100,000 like my friends are making.
Yeah.
And you say, great, deal. Okay? So there was no meeting of the minds, right? Like the Rashba said, there's no meeting of the minds because it's not true that my friends are making $100,000.
Right.
Right? So I think the Sma's coming in to say, yes, there's no meeting of the minds on any fixed amount, but at the very least, there was a meeting of the minds to pay you what the other friends are in fact making, right? It's just that he was willing to pay you up to $100,000, assuming that they were making that, right? And he was also kind of implicitly agreeing to pay you, you know, the less, whatever less they're making. So if they're making $50,000, then he's agreeing to that. So he's kind of agreeing to, like, something in this spread over here.
Oh, okay.
There's an upper boundary, which is the ketzitza amount. And then there's a lower boundary of like kmo chaverim. That's what I mean by the spread. Does that address your... So I think this is interesting because we're saying now that meeting of the minds don't have to be on fixed nodes or fixed points. We've got a meeting of the minds on this kind of range. Yeah, Gary, you have a comment?
I mean, I'm wary to call a meeting of the minds on the ketzitza when there isn't a meeting of the minds on the ketzitza, right? We don't assume a higher amount, even though in theory both the Poel and the Baal Bayis agreed to that upper band.
Right.
So
there's no meeting of the minds. Honestly, there's no meeting of the minds on this, right. But there's a meeting of the minds on this, like spread, whatever it in fact is.
Right. So I think what Yoni was trying to get at is, well, it's not really on a spread; it's really on a criteria for determining an appropriate salary. Right. So the criteria that we really agreed to, we didn't agree to the fixed amount of money. That was a lie. But I did agree to pay normally.
Right.
As opposed to...
You agreed to pay what?
Normally.
So,
It's not like I agreed to, you know, 50,000 to 80,000. And then right. Once within, I mean, within that range, if right. I possible within that range, I just agreed to pay the norm.
So here's what I want to push back on that. Yeah. So let me push back on that and tell me if this is helpful by saying that no, let's distinguish between the Meiri idea that... There's the real meaning of the minds is on kmo chaverinu amount, right? That's like a Meiri idea, let's say, or like a Nesivos idea. The meaning of the minds is on this amount, and I want to say no. There's like no meaning of the minds on anything here. There's just a meaning of the minds on kind of like the spread.
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Not much, except it's more consistent with the language. Of the Sma, where he says, "Batla schirasan," right? So the bargain is batel. But mikalmakom kivan dehu hiski mimayim liten kemoshin iskar in harov su lo holchin achar hamiyot. Right. So just the language here is not that like
it's not we agreed to 50.
Exactly.
It's we agreed nothing below 50.
Exactly. He's not saying, Kamash Malan, they agreed to the 50,000 that the Chavirinu are making. No. And if you look at the Pisrei Choshen, I think he takes this formulation further. He says, Shagam legabe balabayis mo'il haritzui shelo nelech achar hamiyot. You see that? It's just like the Kamosha also Chavirinu is really just setting a lower bound. We're not really saying there's a meeting of the minds on that exact thing. See that? I don't know if they're enough Kamina. I have to explore more deeply.
Maybe not, but I'm saying maybe if the road was being paid more. Right? If the road was being paid more, that like instead of 10
you pay. It's not like that. But that's not the case, right? That's not his case, so it gets tricky.
Yeah, I mean, it's not clear if it's not like the one being tricked. So let's say that the Baal Bayis was tricking people, so like, according to, like, if the real meaning of mind is on the road, so maybe the road can follow the road.
Right.
On the range,
spread.
You might follow
right.
The actual strike price and not just like the road.
Uh-huh.
the small dose analysis doesn't really follow the Meary.
Right.
If it was a Meary type rule,
correct, you would. Correct. He's not saying that, oh, the real agreement is not much else than Havarena.
Right. Or Mesista.
Yeah. Mosca. Good. That's the important thing about the spread. Let me make two more comments here. So I think that's a nice fiddish. Nice fiddish to say that you could have a meeting of the mind on the range. Two other haros I want to make. I think two more. Yeah. So here's a side point. The Shach in Chushin Mishpat Simin Shin Lamed Beis Sif Kadan Tez Zayin, commenting on this case, says even in these cases of deception, it's kind of a strange comment, the Yushalmi deception cases, im kvar nasan lohem habal abayis haschirus, v'yachar kach no de lo shad niskarim bepachlos, eno yachal lohotzi miyadan, v'dok. Kind of strange idea that the Shach thinks that the Ramah's objection or the Rashba's rejection of the Yushalmi is really only lechatchila when the schiros has not yet been paid. But if you kind of have this misrepresentation and the Balabayas pays already, like the poem say, pay us 100 grand like our friends make, turns out the friends make 50, is the Balabayas only found out after he made payments too late? Right, he stopped paying the 100 grand. Now that's kind of strange, right? Why would you think that there's a relevant lechatchila b'di'evet distinction to be drawn here?
Why are you necessarily interpreting as lechatchila b'di'evet? Can't just be that at the end of the day there really was no agreement that was just saying, okay, now this guy, now Paul got the money and this is the money I have to
give me back my money. So all of Araya, he's saying, yeah, this is the Ramah's Psak, right? And the Ramah's Psak is that it's Kaskir's Polim below Ktitza, and then you get Pachashev Polim. Why should I be paying you just because I cut out a check?
Where's your Raya?
And in any case, there's Pachashev Polim.
I mean, it sounds like you're saying...
You're saying all the adults you've been at is including, like, what's your universe, and there's just nothing to do about it?
Yeah. Any yachal lahotzim miyadon, right? They have no recourse, right?
In any case, the pachash would call away the low kitzitza, right? It's not true. If there's no kitzitza, there's no actual support price, and you pay more.
Right.
I say, actually, I just found out that like everybody can pay a lot less.
Right.
So you have.
Yeah, for sure. I think even b'di'evet, you get it back.
You what?
For sure.
No,
I would think so. Yeah, I would think so. Unless you think that the actual payment, like, evidences some sort of, like, what the actual intent was. The intent was to be socher for this amount.
Yeah, but then that would be the argument.
Right.
Like a general thing in all cases.
Yeah. It would be a big chiddush. The Shach only says it here, in this case, the Yushalmi. I mean, so one way of saying this is that, one way of making sense of the Shach, possibly, is to say, yeah, it's really just a suffix. It's kind of what Ben is getting at. We're not really sure if there was a meeting of the minds, and then we'll toss it up to Motzei Mechaber El Varaya. Right, Ben, that's kind of what you're saying? Meaning in the Yushalmi's case, where there's misrepresentation, we're not sure if that constitutes a meeting of the minds. Lechatchila are willing to say no, but b'di'evet, maybe we'll rely on the tzad that it is a meeting of the minds. Yeah.
They didn't do the work.
Right, but meeting in the minds on the amount.
Okay, yeah, not on the amount.
But no, I think what's interesting about the Shach then is to say, because we know that there could be a meeting in the minds on the agreement to work without having a meeting in the minds of the price. That we know. I think what's interesting about the Shach maybe is that he thinks there's something, there's a metaphysical status of, there's a somewhat meeting of the minds, right? And kind of a suffix to be adjudicated by Motzei Mechaber El Varaya. Right? So, yeah, there was some sort of agreement here. We're not exactly sure what the agreement was on, so the Motzei loses. Right? That's kind of what you're saying. I think that's very interesting, because then we're saying that it's not like the halacha takes a binary view of like whether there is or is not a meeting of the minds. in the same way that there's like a meeting of the minds on a spread, there could be this like qualitative like netherland where, yeah, you're somewhere in between, right? And that deadlock will be decided just by the rules of Motz Mechavero. Yeah, you look pained.
Yeah, I'm not sure why the easier way to reach a kind of sub-A is, it's possible that the meeting of the mind was contingent on, you know, the norm. It's possible it's contingent on the specific price. We're not sure, so we default to the cheaper price. And then you have a binary view, I don't know, like a quantum view of it, you know. We're not sure what the reality is, so... And we're not able to, you know, collapse the quantum function to one way or the other, so you default to the cheaper price. You need
but he's not saying you default to the cheaper price. He's not saying you default to the cheaper price. He's saying that in a case where your payment was already made.
Sorry, you default to the most expensive area because you're not sure. It's not that there's this like new kind of meeting of the mind that has this like, you know, big fuzzy qualities. It's just we're not sure if there was a meeting of the mind because we're not sure what the terms of the meeting were. We're not sure the substance of the meeting of the mind.
I'm just saying it's strange to think that there's an epistemic. Let's put it this way. You're saying, oh, this is an epistemic suffix, right? We're not sure it was the meeting of the minds.
Right, he was really confident that the
right.
Norm is what was Kobaya. The Rosh was really confident that it's the number that we said that was Kobaya,
right.
Or maybe that Raman, whatever. And we're not sure if the Rosh or the meter is right. And so we'll make
it right. Right. That's what you want to look at it. So you're saying it's like an epistemic suffix, right? We're not sure if the Gimu is on the Ketitza or on the Kamosha Asu Chavirenu.
Right.
That's adjudicated by Motzmei Chavir Alvaraya. Right?
Yeah.
I'm saying that's a strange view given that the Ramah is poskening one way. Meaning, given that the Ramah is poskening already the Rashba's view, that's Keschiras Polim below Ketzitza, it's strange to think that the Shach is now going to come, presumably within that view.
Well, it's not clear, right? There are two ways to read the Ramah. Either the Ramah is poskening the Rashba, or the Ramah himself is
poskening
the Rashba,
right.
And
right.
The Shach
doesn't like the Ramah. Right.
In one direction.
Yeah, I mean, this agrees with the Ramah, so it's not really relevant.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. It's interesting. I'm not sure. So, you guys want to read the Shach as saying that it's epistemic suffix. Like, we're just not sure how to poskin, so multi mechorel varaya. I think, I guess, I would read the Shach as saying, no, the suffix here is like, it was, in fact, there's just a fuzzy meeting of the minds, and that fuzziness can be persistified by Hamotz Mechaber Alvaraya. Right? So it could cut both ways. We could say either yes or no, and that fuzziness will just be resolved by the principles of Motz Mechaber. So it's not like a suffix of how do we paskin like. It's like, was there a meeting of the minds? Kind of. Okay, and what do we do when there's a kind of meeting of the minds? So, Mosa Mechavero. That's my reading. And the nice part about it is that you don't have to say that it's just that he's within the rejection of the Ramah's view. Yoni.
What is a fuzzy meeting of the minds?
What?
What is a fuzzy meeting of the minds? Like what's happening in the heads of parties?
Yeah, it's like there's just inherent ambiguity. They kind of agreed on this... paradoxical, right? Agreement. It's paradoxical to agree on $5 kemosha shar polim niskarim when that's not in fact what they're making, right? So you could think of it as like there's an agreement on two things, right? Five and kemosha shar polim niskarim, right? But how do we render that coherent, right? You hear that, Yair?
Yeah, I do.
So,
isn't that also like a false premise? The entire, like, how different is the way you just explained like a fuzzy agreement to like the way the Rosh was explaining? Like,
so very different. I think the Rosh's view is to say a fuzzy agreement is a no agreement, right?
Okay.
And so the output is that Kamina Gamadina, Pachashev Poalim. And my reading of this shach is to say, no. A fuzzy agreement is a fuzzy agreement to be adjudicated according to Motzei Mechaber Alvaraya. That's so my reading is that for the Ramah, you wouldn't say Motzei Mechaber. Right? We've decided that a fuzzy agreement is no agreement. or that a contradictory agreement is no agreement. Yoni.
Would you say it is stronger that there's like, maybe it isn't something, what does that mean in your mind? But once the Balabai gets paid, then it's as if, like,
yeah, I think that's what Ben was saying before, right? Ben, wasn't that? What? Yeah, Yoni, say your thing again to Ben, because I think that's the.
I think I'm even stronger when you are suggesting now. Where it's like, maybe there's like some sort of something exactly what they were thinking, but like once he pays out at that amount, then it's as if there was meeting in mind, like retroactively, say there was meeting in mind at that price, and then it's kind of a done deal, so there's nothing to go back on. They agreed on that price.
Isn't that similar to what you were saying before?
Also
that, like, the fact that he paid this amount, right. The fact that he paid this amount evidences that this is what he was intending to pay.
Right, but no one denies that. The question is just, was that agreement made under the pretense of this?
Right. If the entire agreement would be done with false pretense, then that's one thing. In this case, there's a comment. That would make this difference. In this case, because you have these two criteria,
right.
You have.
We just don't know what was his true dos, right?
No, his true dos was to pay the higher amount, which he assumed was also equivalent to.
Right, but we're trying to figure out, does that.
Which one of those two is the most prevalent?
Right, meaning, is the fact that there was misinformation.
But
does that mean that he truly didn't have that dos?
Right? Is paying that amount of money doesn't give us more information about what he was thinking.
Yes, it does. It's the fact that he cut the check.
Yeah, it's not a beer or it's not a knockoff or it's not a cross or we don't actually know. Of course, it doesn't prove that that's what you're thinking, but it's the way we have to act. It's like a thing. But then from a halakhic term, like this, like in a legal sense, like this, the fact that he gives out this amount of money, it doesn't hit that list.
Yeah, I'd even be okay. I'd even be okay
but
going
it
more
it's
towards the B roar.
In favor of one or the other.
Right.
It's on Hugga in favor of either, you know, what he thought the norm was or what the number he agreed to.
Yeah, I'd be
okay. It doesn't give us like any direction at all. There was only one option for the Balabai.
No, it wasn't.
That's
a
much.
You could
have found out it was.
No, you couldn't pay what the Khmer is paying. You actually paid.
Yeah.
You could have found out and paid what you were
right.
5 instead of the 10.
That's the point, is we don't know what his dots was. No, like we,
right.
We know that he was.
Saying this is not a Muslim Khmerical variety.
What was his dots, right? The amount or what other people were getting paid? But the fact that he cut out a check shows that he was pretty on board for the Ktsitsa amount.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't show us anything. Right. If you're going to say what you're saying, you can't make it available because his conduct is consistent with either hypothesis.
His misinformation.
Right. Either he assumed he was paying the Ktsitsa or he assumed he was paying the societal norm.
Oh, I think you could still say the fact that he acted on the Ktsitsa amount shows that he was pretty. He was
the
leaning.
The Ktsitsa amount is the same as the financial norm.
I think you should distinguish between two questions. One is like the misrepresentation question. Separate statements. There's the commotion also the Howie Iranian part and the amount part. And when we have to figure out on which one of these did he have real Gemira's Das, the fact that he cut out a check for the Ktsitsa amount shows us that he was pretty sold on the Ktsitsa.
But I don't think that's true.
Right, because you're reading the.
He could equally have been sold.
Because you're back on the misrepresentation.
Right, he was equally sold on the commotion of the Howie Iranian part and did the same action.
Yeah. He was only set on the amount given the assumption of commotion al sukhavre, right? So I see it. On that view of misrepresentation, I see how they could. You can't really isolate that. You can't get this. I think if you think of the Gemara's Das issue in this context as less an issue of misrepresentation and more an issue of just inherent ambiguity in the agreement, right? Was the agreement on this amount or that amount, then you can say that the cutting out the check shows that he was leaning on the ksitza amount. That's how I'd answer that. You hear that, Yair?
Okay, so then I'm not sure. I think it's plausible to dissociate the Gemara Das from the misrepresentation.
Right. I'm saying the Gemara Das here could be.
If there was no misrepresentation, we wouldn't have a question.
Right. I'm saying we could even just read the Yerushalmi issue as semantic ambiguity. And we're trying to figure out what's his Das on the Ketzitza. Or was his Das on the Chavirenu? And then cutting out a check for the Ketzitza amount tells us that his Das was pointing here.
What could he possibly do to point to his Das towards the Chavirenu? What kind of action would...
Not cutting out a check and saying, let's see what the other Poelim were making. Right, that's the... All
right.
We could talk about it further.
Yeah.
Okay. Last comment here, so... The Nesivus we already discussed. What's the Nesivus' analysis? He wants to... Yeah. He just thinks we got to do this empirical analysis to figure out kind of this Gemara's Das semantic ambiguity thing. Just given the words that were uttered, what is it more reasonable to assume that his Das was on? Right, so he does this whole analysis of like, oh, well, if he said first, hire us like Kimosha Chavirenu are making, and then later they said, well, how much are the other Chavir making? Then the Iker Das on Kimosha also Chavirenu, and like how much they're making is just like a Sikkata or something, right? But if like the Iker statement was on the amounts, and like Kimosha also Chavirenu was like a Sikkata, and the Iker sees that on the amount, right? That's an Asius analysis. So it's really just an empirical question to get into their minds and see, like, given the statements that were made, which of these two is more likely to have been their Gemara's Das.
It's an interesting way of looking at it.
Well,
interesting way
of looking at it. Yeah, very.
I think the Taz is Kasha.
Yeah.
It's,
what's the Taz is Kasha?
Yeah. Why would you ask if you didn't care, if you just care about what people generally get paid?
Yeah.
The act of asking is clearly saying, oh, but what I care about more is how much that is.
Yeah, it's interesting. This.
I don't know if it's true.
Like,
I'm not sure if it is, right?
What do you mean?
You know, I'm going to apply for a job, and someone will say, okay, great, we'll take you. You'll teach at our school. And I'll say, I'm just curious, like, what's the normal starting price? And they tell me that. Okay, I'll take it. If they told me $10,000 higher, I would have taken that too. If they told me $10,000 lower, I'd take that also.
Yeah.
I want the job. I don't really care.
I think in most cases that would be the interpretation of that statement. You're saying, I'm curious how much he's paying. You're saying, because if it's not within a certain amount, whatever, I would do it. Why would I? Well, sometimes you say, like, I'm just curious. That I think is like adds an element to it. I'm like, just curious means, like, I'll take it. But for just like,
right.
For my books, how much is it? But I said, but here we're not sure, it's just this comma. Comma could mean, like, I think more likely means, like, how much? Because if it's not a certain amount, I won't take it.
Yeah, I think it's a kind of empirical question, right? I mean,
that's
what the Nesivus is saying, right?
Right.
It's almost Macholkes HaMetzias, like, what constitutes Iker Ketzitza? I think the Taz's point here, is quite interesting. The Taz, I think what he's getting at is, remember, did anybody get a chance to this Taz? Yeah?
Okay, so what's this question over here about from the sigya of the shliach who does the misrepresentation?
So he says, Akashali. Right, Kiyamar Lepolim Tasu Imi Malacha Bedalad Kemoshin Eskar Macherim. Vapolim Shoskin. Minalan Tisamchu Al Shir Schiris Acherim. Dilma Savar Vekibel Bektitza Shazachar Balabayas. Vamai Nevatel Haschiris Misafik Venoti Mamon Tfe Meaktitza. What do you think? Well, I think take a second to read it over. And then, like he says, Viraya Lizet. What's this Raya?
That was our case of Moshana Balabai.
Yeah, exactly. So Balabai says Chorli Bidalit, Shliach goes and hires for Gimel. And they say Kamosh Amar Balabayas. Now we say, oh, you're locked into the Gimel amount. Right? So what's going on here? What's the Taz trying to do? What's his question and what's his proof from the basically the case of the Balabayas Begimel, Shliach, sorry, Balabayas Bedalit, Shliach Begimel, and the response of Commissioner Balabayas Yoni?
Well, his main point is that in terms of like different amounts are given for why you arrive at a certain amount of money. If you always follow the amount of money. The amount of money is like that was mentioned, that's what people care about.
Yeah.
So the end result.
It's almost like a Bari Vashema, right? I think he thinks that it's the... So maybe it's a little different from what you're saying.
You're saying Bari Vashema. I think it sounds like he's saying it's also just like a fact,
how to do
the transactions. It could be more fundamental to how contracts are
Well, look at this formulation. Am I nevatel haschiros misafik? This is what Eitan is asking, I think. Right? He's saying, well, if there was like a vadai amount... Right on the ketitza, why should we go after chasing like this unknown number of what the other poelim are making? Right, there's like a bari v'shema here. It's like, or like a vaday and a suffik. There's a vaday amount that was stated, and there's this other number that's elusive. It wasn't known to the parties clearly, so we should just say that the meeting of the minds was on the thing that was vaday.
Right.
Right. See this? This is like the, yeah. Well, he's saying two things. Yeah, I'm not saying it's not like a, in bari b'shem bari yadav.
I think he's just trying to say, and this gets to your point earlier about do we want to assume meeting of the minds or not want to assume meeting of the minds? What's our preference? But here he's saying two things were said, right? Ktitza and chavirenu. And the ketitza amount is openly known between the parties. That's not in doubt. So why don't we just... Well,
just about like what was openly like definitely said, then Kaveri also definitely said. You can easily set for table.
It was said, but it wasn't known, right? That's kind of like a number that's not as transparent. Vaharaya was misrepresented. So I just want to point out that clearly he's not working with Yair's point of... agreement under false assumptions, because then this argument doesn't make any sense at all, right? He's thinking in terms of like two things were said. There's semantic ambiguity, chavirenu and ketitza. The ketitza amount is vadai. Both parties knew what that is, so let's just say the agreement was not like ketitza, right? Let's just like look to the focal point.
Is that what he's saying? I think more than this, he's just trying to break down the sivos. He's just saying, he's not saying dafka that is those first two paragraphs. He's not saying go after the ketitza because like it's more clear. He's saying,
well, he's saying avai nevata haschiras misafik.
Well, he doesn't what the halamina is, meaning they're not possible for that, right? Sounds like what's the halamina? Why wouldn't you possible like the lower end?
So he's upset with the Rambam.
Why is he bothered by the Rambam going for the public or the poet and not the any reinterpreter? What was bothering the Taz is that he asked him the question.
That he thinks if there was equal reason, if both things were stated.
What halacha? What was stated in the Ramah or the Shahar?
the Rama rejects the Ushama. The Rama says, sorry, yeah, the Rama thinks there was no meaning of the mind. And you get published in a poem.
Right.
He wants to say, yes, there was a meaning of the mind in Tzitza.
Yeah, okay.
Right? Kind of Taz's point. And he says, why are we meant to vatel the Tzitza? We saw that they were thinking about the Kmoshas of the Iranian point.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not sure how important is he giving to this thing to either Shapol or Buddha highlighted there. Shapol, that's what sort of fear. Because he was saying that. But also, is he saying that is the crucial element of
where? Here?
We have highlighted there, yeah.
He's reinterpreting the Rama here. He's saying we gotta interpret Rama's case as applying only when the Iker Tzitza was clearly on the Kmosha also Kaverini. Right? The only time that we're going to move away from the explicit tzitza amount to the less transparent chavirimu amount is when there's some external reason for thinking that their ikar smichas das was on the chavirimu amount. That's what he wants to interpret from.
And then he is going back to this representation model, which is, did he agree to the amount independent of the knowledge that this isn't the norm, or was he doing it only based on the knowledge that it's the norm?
Right.
So his conclusion follows the
correct model.
Excellent.
But he thinks that if it's just semantic ambiguity, then we'll say that Mir's Das was on the pizza. Right? Because that's the known number. Now, the interesting thing is, what's his riot for this? What's his riot that we should go for the known number? The Gemara with the Shliach, right? Balabais says fire for 3, Shliach goes and does
okay.
For 4. Balabais says 4, Shliach goes for 3. Poel says, Kamoshamar Balabais, how much does he get, according to the Shemar?
3.
Only 3. Right? Why? So, presumably, the Taz thinks that's because. Kivan de ein lanu hochacha shes samchu al divrei balabais atzmo. Elosh efshar sheikar asmicha shelahem al divrei hashliach lo nizbatel ma she dibur hashliach imo. Kind of a structurally parallel argument. What's the proof from the shliach case?
Because the shliach's there in front of them and he's offering them the money, they're just assuming that this
is
them.
Kind of like similar like stuffing and vada, I think, right? We have this like vada interaction between the shliach and the poel, right? There was like a dibur shliach imo. We're not going to mevatel that in favor of like chasing this potential agreement that would link the balabais with the poel.
That's here. I thought it was being since the number is here, we're just assuming that this is the more certain number. Not in the sense that we're assuming that the balabais himself is saying this number because he's a shliach.
I think he's saying that there's like a vadai, like clear interaction. There's like a clear interaction between the shliach. It's like, what's the clearest interaction? What's like the clear Gemara's Das? And he wants to say, between the shliach and the poel, that's a clearer Gemara's Das than to link the poel all the way back to the balabais. Kind of a reason to discuss it last night.
That's different from the interpretation that you gave of the Gemara. That was my interpretation. My interpretation was that by asking. The question in that case of Moshe Shama Balabai, it's a practical question of like where is his das? You were trying to interpret it as like, is he able to go reach back to the das of the Baal?
Yeah.
I think he's interpreting it differently. No, he's
could be.
A practical question.
Right, it could be that, yeah, it could be. Although it's similar to my point in that he thinks, as between the two of them, it's more sensible to think that there's a Gemira's das between the Shliach and the Poel than between the Poel and the Balabais, who are not linked. So it's not just a question of sensibility, his point is that he thinks that our presumption should be that there can only be that there is a Gemira's Das between the Poel and the Shliach, not between the Poel and the Balabais. So in that sense, it means for my it's certainly leaning in the direction of my pshat as well. Okay. Yoni.
Could you offer like a different smart, like the same exact like conclusion? But like a different question.
when you have a strike, like a price that was mentioned, and then like an explanation, a background, so to speak, to how you arrive at that price, and you kind of dispute the explanation and the price, that you follow the price, if the price was set, and that's kind of like the final number.
Say it one more time, but I think the answer is yes.
And then I can give a different round. The title is talking about like bad ideas or something. But maybe we could just talk about the fact that at the end of the day you have a final price that was mentioned.
Yeah.
And then you have kind of like the background, how you got to that price, like the Hungarian or whatever.
But I think the question is, we don't know which is the background and which is the foreground.
Well, that would be the prices, like the actual number.
Why should we assume that, right? The question, we don't know whether the thing in the background is the number or the thing in the background is... So I wouldn't put it in terms of we know that the Kimoshe Asu Chavirenu is the background and the number is the foreground, because it could very well be that the real thing they want to get at is Kimoshe Asu Chavirenu and the number is just the Hechatimtzi to try to get at that.
No,
but,
yeah,
right.
They're trying to find the price.
Yeah, so I think, right. So I think the Taz is saying that. I think the Taz is saying what you're saying, that if we have something that's clear cut, you're taking my point a little further. You're saying it's not vadai for the sake of vadai. It's just like contracts boil down to numbers.
Yeah.
Right? So if there's a number and there's like something else, then just take the number.
Yeah, I mean, this could also go beyond numbers too. If you have any condition. Any condition that's not really clear, you have like that condition and like the background of like how you got to that condition. If you're not sure what the dispute is, you just follow like that condition itself. You follow what's there. Number.
Yeah, 100%.
That's like kind of, that's the goal. That's kind of like the telos of the discussion.
Yeah, I hear that.
Even if the number itself is false, or
right? It's like the most fixed star in this moving constellation of negotiations.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of the only one that kind of reaches the end game.
Yeah, it's like this is like we'll just assume this is what they're trying to get at is the number.
Yeah.
Although you might say that just to play devil's advocate, you might say that they're trying to get at a number, but the number they state, there are two ways of getting at a number. You could state a number, or you could reference it via like pointing to what other people are getting at. So you might say there are two numbers here. Just one is like stated in like number form, and the other one is stated in like word form through reference.
Sure, I don't know of any other reference. I don't know if you're talking about where we refer to numbers consistently through a reference. We talk about Kesef and Shabbat Kesef. Shabbat doesn't mean, like, how you refer to numbers. Shabbat means things which have,
I
think, value.
Yeah. I'm saying that there are ways of saying that you could assume that they're still getting at the number, but I think there are two numbers here, right? Part of the semantic ambiguity is that Kisitsa represents a number and Kavirena represents a number. Right? And you're saying...
I'm saying Kavirena is not a number.
Right. I understand what you're saying. I'm saying that the counter-argument is that Kavirena also is a number. But I hear your... Like, also with the empirical fact that, like, contracts are trying to get at a number.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, good. That's really all I have to say on this discussion. Let me just make one brief hara on this last point of Kimoshe Asu Chavirenu in the Shach issue in Shin Lamed Beis Tesvav. This is our last point about the meeting of the minds issue. So you remember the Ramah paskins. I'll go back to the Ramah here. Here. In the first case of the Ramah, anybody remember this case? Yeah, here, do you remember this case? So this is the Yushalmi's case of the Ramah, but where, so the Balabai says, work for me for four, like your friends are making. Turns out those friends are... he says, work for me for four like your friends are making. Turns out they're making 10. But the Polim responded, like, yeah, pay us like our friends. Right? So, what's the din? What does the Ramah say?
You have to pay them like friends.
Gotta pay like the friends. Which is kind of interesting, right? It's kind of interesting. Gotta pay like the friend. So it sounds like the Ramah thinks that there's a meeting of the minds on the friend's amount.
Right.
Even though the Balabais clearly was not intending to pay them like the friends, right? The Balabais deceived them.
Might not even know. Does he even know for sure? Like, does he even know?
Right. Depends on mate, right? Is the mate here intentional or not? So can this constitute a meeting of the minds? So Rama wants to say yes. All right, so the Balabais said, I'll pay you five like your friend, let's say just four like your friends are getting. Turns out the friends are getting 10. Poel says, yeah, pay us like our friends. So Rama thinks that's a meeting of the minds. Shach disagrees, right? You see the Shach? Shach says that's wrong. Here. Din zet tsarich li'ian. Dinahi dehe mamru kamosha asu chavireinu. Yes, they said pay us like our friends are making. V'yishtakach diyavlu yoser. Mikalmakam hari balabayis amar beferish asu imim blacha bedalid. Imkein lo nisrata lehem beyoser midalid. He's saying, but how could you be mechayev the Balabais for more than he offered? He explicitly said four. So how could you override the amount that he said in favor of their kamosha asu chavireinu? It's kind of like similar to the Taz issue, right? But basically, I think the way to conceptualize the Shach is the Shach is saying the offer was for four. Who cares that they, or it was four and something ambiguous, who cares that they accepted something more than that? You can't accept more than you're offered. So the Shach says, the answer is that it's kilo sachru zezev and osalem pachashe b'pala. So the Shach ends up disagreeing with the Rama, and he says, oh, maybe there's a girsa problem in the Rama, and he wants to read the Rama like this. So you see, it's a very important machlokas here. Can this be a meeting of the minds? There's ambiguity from the offerer's side. There's clear acceptance for one thing from the poel side. Shulchan Aruch says, Rama says, that's sufficient to make a binding agreement. Shach says, no way. An offerer can never be bound for more than he's offering.
You think the Rama thinks it's different between Trent in this case? Like, that's the main star for the Rama?
Not clear. It's not clear. I don't have a strong take on the Shach himself, but I do think that the part of the argument here is whether there's something that the Balabais said that's consistent with what the poel accepted. We just don't know if that's what the Balabais' das was on.
Well, then, otherwise, what's the difference to the Rama between this case and the case where there's like more back and forth?
What?
Like in the case where the Balabais says.
So the Shach thinks there's no difference. Right? The Shach thinks that once you think that in general it's Kaskiras Polim below Ketzitza, Yishami's case, then there's nothing about the Polim's acceptance that could bump it up into Kimosha Asu Chavireinu.
Right, I think for the Ramada, what differentiates the world is.
Yeah, what's the distinction?
Well, the Polim is not going to. If the offer, the Girsa that the Shach, which the biggest case, doesn't have this explicitly, but assume that the Girsa of the offer was for Kimosha Asu Chavireinu. I'd be curious if you could do a bar on it, just want to check the then when the poet then changes the formulation, it becomes clear what
yeah.
exactly.
Right. I think another way of putting it is that when there's ambiguity on both sides, then so the Rama's case is a case where there's ambiguity on both sides. Well, I shouldn't say the Rama's case, because the standard case of the Yushami, Yoni, is when there's ambiguity on both sides. Right? Here, there's only ambiguity on one side. Because they said, Kimosha Asu Chavireinu. And so you might say the Machlokes in the Shach and the Rama is, well, does the disambiguation from one side resolve the interpretive question?
Well, Why is it less ambiguous on their side? Why maybe they what he said to the actual?
Because he said two things, right? He said
seats amount and commercial amount.
Or he said one thing and then just based on the other.
That's like the misrepresentation way of looking at it. Yeah. And maybe it'd be more explicit about it with this current part. I think the shock is thinking in terms of Baal Bayis said two things. He said Tzitza and Kamosh Asu Chavirechem. Their acceptance was on Kamosh Asu Chavirechem.
And then the fact that they said that is that they came out to implies that they clearly.
Exactly. So the accept for the Ramah, the acceptance disambiguates the.
Even though we don't say anything in the Shliach case, when the Taz was quoted.
Right.
When they say Kamosh Amar Balabai, I guess right. They don't know what Balabai said.
Yeah. That's the Ksosis. I don't know if you saw that last Ksos. That's the Ksos and Shinlami Beis Gimel is trying to address. He's trying to say, oh, the difference between the Ramah's case of Kamosh Asu Chavirechem and the Shach's case and the Gemara's case is that the barrier of the Shliach kind of messes up. Yeah. Which speaks to my point earlier and what we mentioned last year, that it's the barrier of the Shliach that vitiates the meeting of the minds. Right? That's his Ksos here. He says, quotes the Shach's question, because the Shach says whatever. And he says, Lofima Shekasafti Micha, Mishim Degam, Be Omer Shliach Begimel, Kimosha Amar Balabayas. You need like the Shliach to give a clearer offer of what the Balabayas actually said. It can't be just like the Shliach talking. That's not enough to connect the dots back to the Balabayas. All right, good. That's the discussion of the meaning of the mind, Sigya. Any last comments on this? Any of our online friends? Let's see. Anybody have any last comments on this? Oh, we lost Cole a while ago. Yakir, Gabe, any comments on this stuff?
No comments.
Okay. So why don't we turn quickly to Asfala Samblacha as a Kenyan very briefly? Or should we hold off? 12:23, you don't want to do 7 minutes of? All right, fine. So why don't we stop here then? Yeah, say something. We have plenty of, yeah,
and,
sure.
The Shach's formulation looked to me like he didn't see it as an ambiguity. The Baal Bayis offer is essentially a pizza. The Baal Bayis favors the name of the Baal. He cuts out the rest because he doesn't think the rest matters.
Yeah, right. I think he's like in a Taz. He's in the Taz world where there's a fixed amount for the Dalid. And
right,
so,
we give preference
to like the fixed amount.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what he's thinking.
Okay, probably right. Which means it's possible muscle good adjusting now. And I've been the guy who's been turning all the muscle good into like doing technical things about like what people intend.
Yeah.
When someone says four, Kamosha Sukhavarinu, Shach is very convinced that it's Ksitsa and Tharamah, no, there's really an ambiguity there.
Exactly. Let me take 3 minutes then just to tell you what to look at for the Aschalas and Melachos Sugya, just to telegraph what we should all be seeing. So, in Aschalas and Melachos Sugya, basically what I want to know is what makes the Schiras Polim agreement binding?
Binding in the sense that the Polabites.
Yeah, or we'll see, maybe in some cases that it locks the poel in bur davar ha'avid, right? Now, you might think that generally you need a regular kinyan. You need a kinyan meshicha or a kinyan shtar or something to make it binding. But what happens if you don't have a kinyan shtar or a kinyan kesef or whatever? What makes the agreement binding? So it sounds like there's machlokas rishonim about Haschalas HaMelacha, whether it constitutes a valid kinyan to both lock in the wage that was agreed upon between the parties beforehand and to trigger these dinim of Chazara. So like the first stuff on the Makoros sheet here is just kind of interesting Makoros that reflect that we do view there as being a binding kinyan between the Baal Bayis and the Poel. So for example, we're not saying that once the Poel starts working, and the price of labor fluctuates, we don't say that the price his wages fluctuate with the market fluctuations of labor. He's locked in to the original price that was bargained upon between the parties. So I just want to point out that the Gemara on Ayin Zayin seems to be assuming that there is a binding contractual relationship between the parties. So that's just what the Sugya on Ayin Zayin is about in the first few pages. And the Pesachim of the Shulchan Aruch there. Then when you get to the section of Aschalas HaMalacha Kikinyan, here I want to point out that a lot of Rishonim are working with the assumption that you don't need a separate Kinyan to lock in the Poel at this price rate and to block him from being Chozer. They just assume that if there are negotiations that are followed by Aschalas HaMalacha, the Aschalas HaMalacha constitutes a kind of a Kinyan. So I want to see where that comes from. That's a Sugya on Ayin Vav Mevayis. The Sugya on Ayin Vav Mevayis is very important for damages for breaching an agreement. We're going to talk about that later on, probably in like 2 weeks. But for now, our purposes are really just about the distinction between Holchu and Lo Holchu, Hischilu B'Melacha, Lo Hischilu B'Melacha. Actually, right now, we're just more interested in Holchu, Lo Holchu, because that's what maps the Aschalas HaMalacha for our sense. Very important Machlokas Tosis and the Ramban, about why Holchu is important. I think the Ramban reads in this whole idea of Tchilas HaMalacha Kekinyan into this Holchu, Lo Holchu distinction. Tosos seems to deny it, or Tosos has a different explanation, which gives him no reason to believe that Aschalas HaMalacha is a Kinyan. Okay? That's this very important discussion. You'll see that gets carried over into Shulchan Aruch, and Shin Lamed Gimel Beis and the Shach there about whether or not there's a Kinyan of Aschalas HaMalacha and some of the ramifications of that. That's mostly what we're going to discuss. There's some interesting discussions at the end. Very briefly, I want to cover to what extent do other Kinyanim also work for Schiras Poalim, like Shtar and Kesef, Situmta. Is Aschalas HaMalacha itself iteration of one of those other Kinyanim, or is it something different?
The Ramban is like that weird thing that
the Kohen gave
something.
The Mashiach on the Clay Omenos.
Yeah.
So yeah. 100%. So I want to know, A, did the other Kinyanim work, and B, what's the relationship between Aschalas HaMalacha as a Kinyan and these other Kinyanim? And I want us to think just a little more philosophically about what the significance of treating Aschalas HaMalacha as a Kinyan is. Like, why are the Rishonim motivated to read in this Kinyan of Aschalas HaMalacha? That's kind of the background question that I want to discuss very briefly. And that'll be it for Aschalas HaMalacha as a Kinyan. So I don't want to go too deep. I just want to kind of analyze Aschalas HaMalacha very briefly, make a few points about it that are relevant for our big picture analysis. And then I want to move on to the sugya of Mavriach Mebeis HaAsurim, kind of the unconscionability in bargaining for a contract price. Someone's running away from the jail, and he sees a ferry who can help him get across the river, and he says, I'll pay you $1 million to help me get across. And the guy says, great, helps him get across. So there's like background negotiations between the parties, there's seemingly a meeting of the minds, there's Aschalas HaMalacha, right? And yet, a lot of Rishonim think that that amount is not binding. You still just pay the going market rate for it. So it's kind of an exception to what we've been seeing until now. And the question is, why is that case different? Right? So is it because of like the unfair circumstance of the background negotiation? Is it something about Aschalas HaMalacha that Aschalas HaMalacha is like a weaker kind of Kinyan? Maybe like a real Kinyan would have operated differently in that context. So that'll be our next kind of two-day chabura. And then from there, I think we're going into contract damages, which is that big sugya in Ayin Vav. All right, go ahead.